Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 22. Acts chapter 22 tonight, please. I'll be reading just a few verses for you. You can follow with me in your Bibles. And while you're turning there, we want to welcome the Mark Mahon family from Altoona, PA. Good to have you all with us tonight. And thank you for spending your 4th of July evening with us. We appreciate that. All right, let's turn to Acts 22, verse 25. Follow with me as I read. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest. This man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight as we come together in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your kindness and mercies. We thank you for America. We thank you for freedom and liberty. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us the opportunity tonight to gather together and one more time before Jesus comes to sing the hymns of the faith, to praise you with our giving and with our lips, with our prayers, and to hear the word of God, and to be challenged one more time, Father, by your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of every person receive the word of God, that you might do your work, you might change us and challenge us, that, Father, you might make us more like the Lord Jesus. And help us to go away rejoicing and praising God for all the good things we have in the name of Jesus. And it's in his name we praise you and thank you tonight. Amen. Paul the Apostle was preaching in Jerusalem when a great multitude of people started listening and gathering around, and a tumult was made, and he was arrested. He was about to be taken aside and scourged when he mentioned that he was a Roman citizen with all the rights thereof. Upon hearing this, the centurion told the chief captain, and the chief captain questioned Paul as to the authenticity of this statement. And when Paul affirmed that he was indeed a Roman citizen, the chief captain said this, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. Paul replied, But I was freeborn. Sometimes we do not understand the great privilege that we have. Those of us who have been born in the United States of America, we don't understand the great privilege we have as American citizens. We so often take our freedoms and our liberties for granted that now we have a generation of young people growing up who do not even count precious the liberties and freedoms. They do not understand what they have. Now, we could go and spend a lot of time looking at revisionist history. We could go and look at the public school system and see how they've changed what they're teaching the children, what they're leaving out. But I believe also that there's a generation of American citizens who are born into the freedoms and liberties of the United States that do not appreciate them much at all. When a generation of Americans can prefer socialism to democracy, they understand neither one. Amen. There are those who are citizens being freeborn. It cost them nothing for this freedom. And sadly to say, more and more are willing to pay nothing to keep it. Amen. There are others who have obtained this freedom at a great sum. Hundreds of thousands of peoples from all over the earth have paid enormous sums and made great sacrifices to come to the United States and obtain this freedom. They came excitedly. They came humbly. And they came legally. And many of them have become the most ardent supporters of the United States. And they understand and appreciate its freedoms much more than many who are freeborn. Because of the sum they paid to get here. because of the sacrifices they made and the hardships they faced just to get to America. For what? Why did they come? Freedom. For liberty. I have three things tonight. I want to take a look out as shortly as I can at the topic of liberty. My first point tonight is this: liberty in the land. The United States of America has been known as the land of liberty from generation to generation. There is no nation in the history of mankind that has experienced such meteoric rise to power and prosperity. No nation since the dawn of mankind has become so powerful and so influential in so short a time. And no nation has ever been so benevolent with so much as the United States of America. And all the detractors and all the naysayers and all those who want to change America have no clue then what America really is. With all of her failures and flaws, the United States of America is still the best nation on the planet. America has also been called the land of opportunity. America is unique. And it is the best country in the world. And if you don't think so, then tell me what country you would rather live in. And when you name it, claim it and move there. If it's so lousy here, go wherever it's better. And as a land of opportunity, let me ask you this. What other country can a nobody become a somebody? In what other country can a peasant become a philanthropist? You know, as I was growing up, I remember hearing and singing of the United States as being the land of the free and the home of the brave. Then as a young child, that got in my heart somewhere. You know, and I was always so proud to be an American. I was always so thankful that I was in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I always looked at our soldiers as brave and courageous. I looked at our military and our police and our firemen. I looked at them as courageous individuals. They were part of the home of the brave. And I always wanted to be one of those brave. How about you? I always hoped that when it was my turn, I could be one of the brave. That always meant something to me, even as a little boy. And why is all this true? One word: liberty. Of all the monikers America has owned, I think this one is the best. Land of liberty. The land of the free. There is a liberty woven into the very fabric of American citizens. There is a liberty that is written into the founding documents of our country. The Declaration of Independence states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." In other words, duh, right? In other words, this is a no-brainer. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Constitution of the United States of America says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America." Now, I want to just say this. The men who wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, they were geniuses. And the people today who are always trying to change them and saying they're living documents and they want to update them and they want to make them culturally hip, they're little Lilliputians mentally compared to the men who worked on these documents. They have stood the test of time and kept a nation free. There's liberty in the land because there has been patriotism and courage in the heart of its citizens. Men and women who were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice of their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors for America to be free and remain free. The final sentence of the Declaration of Independence is a promise among the signers to mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. These signers did indeed lose their fortunes. And they lost their lives for a country, but they never lost their sacred honor because they kept the oath they made. And many have followed in their wake, defending and preserving the freedoms and liberties we now so thankfully enjoy. See, there's liberty in the land. And I say, God bless America. Amen. But my second point is this: liberty in the Lord. Amen. America is great because our God is great. Amen. And if anyone wants to dispute or doubt that America has been founded on and brought up by the Word of God, they need to just start doing some reading and some real studying, and they'll find it, these things to be self-evident. Amen. There's another liberty, though, that cannot be found in an earthly land. A liberty not granted by any earthly nation or any sovereign of this planet. A liberty not won with the blood of patriots, but a liberty won with the blood of Jesus Christ. A spiritual liberty, not of this world, but of the kingdom of God in heaven. This liberty brings freedom from the tyranny of sin and the oppression of the evil one. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 and 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." This liberty having been purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That word propitiation means satisfactory payment. In other words, God saw that Jesus was willing to go to battle for our souls and was willing to shed His blood for our spiritual liberty and freedom and was willing to die so that we could live. Amen. And God said, that's satisfactory payment. Yeah. That pays the bill. Yeah. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. In the Bible, listen, we have a guarantee. Just as America has a constitution, we have a guarantee in the Word of God, the Bible, the perfect law of liberty, according to James 1:25. Right. This is our Constitution, our Declaration of Dependence. Yep. You notice I didn't say Declaration of Independence. Yeah. Declaration of Dependence. Amen. And our Bill of Rights all rolled in one right here. Amen. Spiritually. There's a liberty in the Lord that supersedes, complements, and completes the liberty in the land. Think about how blessed we are. We get to live in the land of liberty, and we get to live with the Lord of liberty. We're double blessed. We're super blessed. I mean, we're really blessed. Amen? I hear people all the time say, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm blessed." Yeah, we are blessed. I think some of us could do that once in a while. People say, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing all right." "How you doing?" "Okay, I'm doing good." "How you doing?" "I'm doing well." How about going, "Yeah, I'm blessed. Praise God, I'm blessed." Maybe more people start coming to church and say, "What's going on up there? Them people's all blessed up there." Amen. We're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid to speak up for America in today's cultural climate. And then we become afraid to speak up for Jesus. Man, we're free. This liberty in the Lord supersedes and complements and completes the liberty in the land. It took a great sum to obtain this liberty. You remember that centurion? Remember that chief captain, what he said? He said, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And it took a great sum to obtain this freedom for us. The blood and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Son of God and God the Son, the second person of the triune Godhead. What a price to pay. a sum that he alone could pay. And listen to me, a sum that he alone even possessed the power to pay. And all those who enjoy that liberty are freeborn. Remember Paul said I obtained with a great sum. Paul said, I was freeborn. Yeah. Paul said, I didn't have to pay anything for it. Yeah, isn't that great? Our liberty in Jesus, we're freeborn. Yeah. We don't have to pay anything. Aren't you? You don't feel sad for people trying to pay their way to heaven? Right. Yeah. They never have enough and never know if they ever paid enough. Right. We're freeborn. Yeah. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Amen. Not of works. Amen. Lest any man should boast. Freeborn. God didn't ask me to make promises. He didn't ask me to pay anything. He didn't ask me to do anything. He just said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Revelation 21:6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Yeah. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? That's the church. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Yeah. Yeah. The poorest person on planet Earth can get saved. Yeah. The wickedest man on planet Earth can get saved. Yeah. The most uneducated person on planet Earth can get saved. Yeah. Why? Because it's free. I mean, even a dog can take something that's free, amen? How much a human being can reach up and take what God has, the gift of eternal life? And these freedoms reach into all of life and encompasses all things. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isn't that awesome? God says, I'm not even going to give you my son. I'm not even going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you freely all things, all good things to enjoy. Everything good in your life God gave to you freely. Amen. We who are born again enjoy the liberty in the land and the liberty in the Lord. Therefore, we have an obligation placed upon us with the liberty in law. The second verse of that great hymn we sang tonight, America the Beautiful, by Catherine Lee Bates, says this. Now listen. O beautiful for pilgrim feet, whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control. Listen, thy liberty in law. Liberty does not mean lawlessness. Do you know that liberty, for liberty to exist, it depends on the self-control of those who have the liberty? I'm looking around at our country today and I see less and less and less self-control. It's getting out of control. Certain aspects of our society, certain groups of our society, certain segments are getting out of control. That threatens liberty. One observer put it this way. Thy liberty in law. Self-control is the foundation to freedom. There cannot be any society without self-control of the individual members, and that requires a sense of morality. The principles of self-control are paramount to living in any society, but especially in the American society consisting of a constitutional republic. For example, rules and laws exist in a society as they do throughout the universe because there is no right or wrong without them. Do you understand? Without law, there's no right or wrong. Listen, the universe has laws. The yeah. physical universe,
right.
the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, they all have laws that God had created, laws that God put in place, and they function by those laws.
Amen.
And yet today people don't want to have law. Or they don't want to have the laws they don't like.
Right.
You know, they're not against a law because it's unjust or inhumane. They're against it because they don't like it. There's some laws I don't like, but I have to live by these laws. And tumult, discord, terror, and chaos in the absence of rules and laws result. The principles of self-control will prevent those laws from ever needing to be enforced, providing control of selfish desires are properly employed. So you got the law. And if you know what? If you have self-control, you don't got to worry about the law. The law never has to be enforced if we control ourselves. Think about it. There's a law for a speed limit law. It's a law, right? So if you control yourself, and if the speed limit says 70, and you want to go 90, then the law is going to enforce itself. But if you go 70, guess what? The law doesn't have to be enforced. So who's in charge of the enforcing of the law ultimately? We are. So if we're complaining about a law, maybe it's because a lack of self-control on our part. Without law, there's no liberty, only anarchy. In Judges 17:6, the Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine if tomorrow morning the President of the United States and the Congress got together and they said, you know what? From now on, no laws. Whatever you think's right, just do it. That would be crazy. Kind of going on a little bit when people can burn down campuses and stores with impunity. It's kind of like saying, hey, do whatever you want to do. The thief justifies his theft, and the murderer his murders, and the immoral his immorality, and on it will go, right? And so you try to arrest somebody from robbing a bank, and they go, hey, I thought it was right. It's right in my eyes. Well, it's not right in my eyes. Well, then you do what's right in your eyes, and I'll do what's right in my eyes. So that guy says, we know what's right in my eyes to beat you to a pulp. Yeah, we know what's right in my eyes to shoot you dead. Yeah, well, you know what it... Oh, that's kind of final, isn't it? But you see how it escalates. If you get to do what's right in your eyes, then I'm going to do what's right in my eyes. We recognize that for there to be liberty, there must be laws. If there's going to be liberty for all, there have to be laws to regulate all. The same is true in Christ. Just because we're saved, it does not mean that we're without rules or laws.
Amen.
But yet that seems to be a common theme in some areas of Christianity. Just like you have areas of the American society that don't want to have laws and rules, the ones they don't like anyway. Same thing's true in Christianity. You've got this segment of Christians who say, well, you know what? We have liberty in Christ. We don't have to have rules. We don't have to have laws. Then throw away the New Testament because it's full of rules and laws. Liberty brings certain rights, that's true. But with those rights, there are restrictions. With those rights, there are responsibilities. And with those rights, there are rewards. This is true of the liberty in the land and the liberty in Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Why? For the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, that'd be the federal, or as unto governors, that'd be state, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, that be state and local, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Here it is, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You see the restrictions? See, we have liberty, but you see the restrictions? Ordinances, it says. It says ordinances. You see the responsibilities? Submit. You see the reward? For the glory of God. It's the will of God. It'll bring God glory. And as Christians, we know when we do the will of God and bring God glory, it brings rewards in the end. Paul himself understood that though he was free from the law of Moses, he was not lawless. 1 Corinthians 9:21, to them that are without law as without law. And I hear people all the time use that verse. Well, look at the Apostle Paul. He even said to them that were without law, he was without law. So you're telling me that Paul went into towns where there was immorality and he just got in the flow because, hey, ain't no law here. No, you know what he said? He said this, to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. He didn't say, I didn't become an outlaw to win those that are without law. He said, I'm always under the leadership of Jesus Christ as my sovereign King and my Lord. I'm always in submission to Him wherever I go. Now, if these people don't understand the law, I'm not going to argue salvation with people who don't understand the Mosaic law. What good's that do? So you go to these Gentiles, they don't have the law, and you say, well, it says in Isaiah, it says in Ezekiel, it says in the prophets. They're going to say, what? Well, the law says, what law? That ain't our law. What law are you talking about? Well, the law of the Jews. Well, what's that got to do with us? No, he said, so when I go to talk to somebody without law, I don't argue from the standpoint of the law. Won't do me any good. You know what I do? I argue from another standpoint, without law, without using the law. But if he's talking to the Jews, he's talking to people who have a law, then he uses the law to show them how the law brings them to Christ. I hear some say, well, I'm not under the law. So what does that mean? Next time a person says to you, well, we're not under law. We're under grace. Okay, what's that mean? You're not under law. They won't be able to answer you. Or they'll go, well, that means it means I don't have to obey the law. I don't know what they'll come up with. They'll come up with something. I'm not under the law. Does it mean that you can live any old way you want because you have liberty in Christ? There are Christians that believe that, or kind of believe that, or mostly believe that. When the Bible says that we're not under the law, it's speaking in terms of righteousness. We like to take it and say, well, I'm not under the law, therefore I don't have to obey law. No, listen to what it says. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So what's it mean? It says I'm not dependent on the law. Christ is the end of the law. I don't need to depend on law. I don't have to look to the law. I don't have to obey the law. I don't have to be concerned about the law. I have Christ. But now that I have Christ, I'm supposed to live according to the Word of God, which says, do this, don't do that. Don't go here, don't hang with those people. Don't talk like this, talk like that. Don't dress like this, dress like that. Don't act like this, act like that. That's law, folks. Anything that tells you what to do and what not to do is a law. Isn't that a rule? Okay, let's say rule. Let's not have any rules for soccer anymore, any rules for baseball, any rules for football. Can you imagine a football team saying, we don't like these laws. What do you got? Rules, rules, rules. Got to kick the ball, got to throw the ball, got to catch the ball, got to run the ball. Got to stay in the lines. And we said, we laugh. We said, that's ridiculous. It wouldn't even be a game. Christian life isn't a life without rules. It's not the Christian life. The Bible says we're supposed to strive lawfully. Isn't that interesting? If you don't strive lawfully, you're disannulled for the prize. Now, being under law means that we're not looking to the law for our righteousness. Being without law means we're not looking to the law for our righteousness. Philippians 3:8-9. Yea, doubtless, Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Here it is, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul said, I'm not under the law. What do you mean? The law is an oppression on me. I'm not under it. Hey. See? Because I'm not looking to the laws for righteousness. There is, the law doesn't bring righteousness. Hey. I don't want to be found having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, means keeping the law. I want to be found with the righteousness of God, which is of Christ by faith. Hey. Freely given. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law is. It's knowledge of sin. It's not righteousness. Romans 3:28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You see how it was all, it had to do with justification. It had to do with righteousness. It had to do with salvation. That's what it means when we're not under the law. Doesn't mean we're supposed to be lawless. We're not supposed to be lawless Christians. In other words, not obeying the Lord. What did he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Wow. It sounds like rules. It sounds like laws. But if you love the Lord, they're not grievous, are they? Now, you have to have some self-control, right? And so I have liberty in Christ. But I can't be lawless. I have to have... And you know, doesn't the Bible say that God chasteneth every son that he receives? And if you be without chastening, you're bastards and you're not sons, right? Okay, so let's go back to that illustration about the law. The law is there, but if I have self-control, it doesn't have to be enforced. God's chastening is there. But if I have self-control, it doesn't have to be enforced. I don't know, anybody in here ever spank your children for being good? Daddy, what's that for? You were just so good today. I can't take it anymore. No, nobody disciplines their children for being good. We don't put people in jail for being good. God doesn't chasten his kids when they're being good. How do you know when you're being good? When you're doing the will of God. Oh, what's the will of God? Oh, there's rules again. The first thing God did to mankind, the very first thing he did was say, thou shalt not. You see, there's this one thing you can't do. See? So we've had rules from the very beginning. But Christians today seem to, they want to be able to have anarchy, Christian anarchy. And so as a citizen of the United States and enjoying all the liberty and freedoms thereof, we are obligated to the restrictions, responsibilities, and the rewards of that liberty of the land. And we as citizens of a heavenly kingdom and the liberty and freedoms thereof are obligated to the restrictions, responsibilities, and rewards of that liberty as well. And did you hear the word responsibilities? Yeah, I have responsibilities as a United States citizen. And I have responsibilities as a Christian. Praise the Lord for the liberty in the land. Yes. Praise the Lord for the liberty in the Lord. Amen. And let us diligently enjoy our liberty and law to the glory of God the Father.